chapter 2. I think I messed that up last week. Did I get it right this week? It's 2, 1 through 12. 2, 1 through 12. I must have messed it up again. I have a way of doing that. So, if you'd please stand in honor of reading God's Word, we'll begin with the first verse of chapter 2. I pray you'll follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. Some, when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within them, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, went out of the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Father, we thank you. We thank you for the power to forgive sin, the authority to forgive sin, the power to act to forgive sin. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we worship you this morning because you have exercised power to forgive sin in our lives. And Lord, you have provided power for all of mankind that they may be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of God to forgive sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, I pray today that no one would leave this place with sin, that they would receive forgiveness for that sin and walk in the power of that freedom, that they would arise alive and walk. Father, move on our hearts, change our lives, empower us, Lord, to live to your glory. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think you may be seated. I preached from this text a long time ago. I entitled it, "Jesus is in the House." I don't know. It seemed like there was something about that back then that kind of rang with it. Jesus is in the house. It seemed like there was something in the culture that we were in. They were talking about somebody's in the house, or, you know, I don't know what it was, but you might remember some of that. I don't know. It's been a long time. I've been preaching for a while. But nevertheless, it reminded me of that. But at the same time, that wasn't my focus then. It was more the fact that Jesus was in the house. But this one, I want to really focus on the very fact that he does forgive sin and has authority to do so. Last week, we discovered that Jesus, the things that we're to be teaching people, is that Jesus has authority to teach. And he teaches things that the scribes and the Pharisees, quite frankly, didn't completely understand. He taught with power. He didn't name drop. He didn't have someone back up his argument. He spoke as one that didn't need any backup for his argument. He was one that spoke by power and he spoke by authority. He had the authority to act upon it. We've seen that same term in this text, that he has the authority or the power to act. That same word in the Greek is used in this text. And so this is what we need to be teaching people. We need to be telling them about Jesus Christ. A lot of times people think that Jesus is just another good prophet, just another good man, just a good walker upon the earth to show men how to live their lives. But he's much, 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 much more than that. I could put much to the nth degree for those of you who are mathematicians, and you would understand how much that is. But let me tell you the rest of you, much to the nth degree is much. Okay? It's endless. It's endless. It's that much. Okay? It's that much. And so the point is that Jesus is much more than that. We see this morning that he's a propitiation. We see this morning that he's an atonement for sin. He is the all in all. We're going to sing about that at the end of our service. He is my all in all. So the point being is that Jesus is in the house. And here's the thing. I want to say this to y'all this morning, and I want to remind you of this. Jesus is in the house today. And it's sad that we got room in the house. But let me tell you, Jesus is nonetheless in the house. Nonetheless. As he was in that day. Now I get he'd been healing the sick. He'd been causing the lame to walk, the blind to see, and so forth and so on. I understand those things. He had turned the water to wine. Well, I understand that. But Jesus is still in the house nonetheless today. And we ought to gather for that reason alone. It shouldn't be about, and quite honestly, that ought to be our motivating factor. Not that we get sermons preached the way we like them. Not that we sing songs that we like. Hello. But that Jesus is in the house. Not that we're wearing the right apparel. Not even that it's the right degrees. And I don't think it is this morning. Okay? It's not a padded enough pew. Or we got pews rather than chairs. Or that we got too much light in the auditorium. Or we got too little light in the auditorium. Or I don't like the way this goes or that goes. But here's the thing, folks. We're worshiped because Jesus is in the house. And he's here. We gather for that reason and that reason alone. It's why we're here. It's what motivates us. It's what pushes us. That's why we Bible study. Not because we get together and everybody gives us nice little warm fuzzies. Not because there's a social aspect to Sunday school. That's just an extra benefit. We rally and gather because of Jesus Christ. And he's in the house. If we're not gathering for that reason, we have no foundation. Said this morning, who was it? No, it was this guy this morning. Somebody walked up this morning and says, three pillars of the faith. Talking about three guys that were standing out in front of the building over there. And one of my brothers says, no, we just got a sure foundation. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's not about the pillars. It's about the foundation. It's about the Jesus. Jesus is in the house. It's about that foundation. It's about that one that we all stand, and we stand because he stands and no other reason. And so Jesus is in the house. Immediately they had gathered. There was no longer room, so much that, Jim, you couldn't even get anybody in the door back there. Even if you wanted, you know, usually you say, well, I can squeeze in by the door. You couldn't even squeeze in by the door. Jim's watching the door back there. In case somebody comes in, or maybe we get so crowded that he's got to hold it. We got too many people in here. Fire company's going to tell us we got overload and we're going to come find us. You know, they're going to come give us a ticket. I'd like to have that problem. Amen? But the more and more people hear about Jesus, not about your accomplishments, not about my accomplishments, but more and more that people hear about what Jesus is doing in our lives, you can rest assured when the people start hearing that about Jesus, guess what? They're going to want to be in the house. We've relied too much about telling them about what's going on in our lives, except for the fact that it's the power of Jesus living through us. That's the life that we want to portray. That's the life that we want to get out. That's the message that we need to send. Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatsoever He's commanded us. And lo, He's with us always, even to the end of the age. It is much about Jesus and very little about us. He's changed us. He's the foundation. He's the reason we do what we do. He is everything. He's our all and all. Immediately they were gathered together. There was no room in the house. He preached the word. Isn't that funny? Remember last week we talked about the synagogue? They gathered, they prayed, and they got a word. Okay? That's the reason that they did. They gathered, they prayed, and they got a word. I'm glad we prayed more than we normally do last week. I'm glad we did that, just by accident, but it happened. It was like by the Holy, no, it wasn't by accident. The Holy Spirit arranged it that way. Even though it wasn't arranged the way that we put it in the bulletin, but the Holy Spirit arranged it. So we prayed more. But we pray, and we gather, we assemble, but we preach the Word. And so we preach the Word sometimes through song. We preach the word sometimes through testimony. We preach the word sometimes through a video on the screen or even words on the screen. We preach the word through the word itself. We preach the word even through prayer. Listen, we even praise God and preach the word through singing and exalting the Lord. Especially if it's doctrinally sound, more especially. As a matter of fact, that's the only kind of praise that God inhabits, is that which is doctrinally sound that's lifting Him up. So, they're preaching the word. Verse 3. Then they came to Him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now when I said that, when I preached this sermon a few years ago, this has been a few years ago, this has been 20 years ago I preached this sermon. These four guys is what I really focused on and their faith. But I left a guy out of it that I see today. A fifth guy. The guy being carried. I like that fifth guy. I didn't see him 20 years ago. But I've seen him this week. These men had faith. Listen, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want you to know that. You can't walk in your Christian walk without faith. If you're walking today without faith, you've got it all, if you've got it all handled and everything that you're doing today, and you're relying for God for nothing, you are not pleasing God today. I want you to know that. If you're not relying for God for anything in your life, if you're not relying upon Him to guide you, to lead you, to show you the way. As a matter of fact, let me say this. If there's any area in your life that you're not relying upon God, you are not satisfying God in that area. It's just that simple. If we don't walk by faith, we can't please God. It doesn't matter whether it has to do with your work. It doesn't matter how you do it with friendships. It doesn't matter whether it's to do with relationships. It doesn't matter what it is. If we don't rely upon God by faith, we can't please God in any of it. So that means we got to be people of faith. Faith about our relationships. Faith about our families. Faith about our jobs. Faith about everything. It's about faith. The people of God are people of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know what? A lot of times we want to walk by what's behind us. That's not faith. God's always challenging us with what's ahead of us, not what's behind us. Yesterday's faith does not guarantee tomorrow's faith. And quite frankly, you can't walk into tomorrow's faith because tomorrow doesn't exist. You can only walk by faith today. It's a present thing. Faith walking doesn't happen in the past. And it doesn't happen in the future. It only happens in the present. Faith is a day-to-day activity. These guys were men of faith. Look what he says. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. I like that. Faith uncovers a roof. You say, well, that's just practical, Brother Jerry. They didn't have no other way. I don't know. They could have busted out a window. But I'll tell you this. They were going to get their friend in front of Jesus. That's it. Faith saw a way. Listen, faith sees a way. When everybody else is telling you there's no way, faith sees the way. It may be an unusual way. It may not be through the front door. It may not be through the side door. It may not be a way that you always thought it would be. But you can know this, faith knows the way. And the way here was through the roof. It was through the roof, unconventional, different. Well, we've never done it like that before. Wow. Imagine that. I mean, we would have thought that was pretty crude this morning if people come through the roof. I would have, you know. Pastors are coming from the heavens down to pulpits and preaching these days. Aren't they doing that? I think somewhere I've seen that one time. I don't know. Maybe I dreamt it. That's not a reality, by the way, when you dream it. Me and Trey had that talk this morning. We have a lot of things that we think is reality, but they're not. They're our dreams sometimes. They're things that we think are real. And in this case, this situation was a definitely real thing that was happening. They uncovered the roof and they got this man down before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Power, folks. That upset the Pharisees of the day. It upset the scribes. Look what they say. Some of the scribes who were sitting there reasoned in their hearts, "Why does this man blaspheme? Why is he doing such a blasphemous thing? Equating himself with God." The audacity. I want to tell you something. The scribes got it. I want you to hear something. We always sneer at the old scribes. They just don't get it. No, the scribes got it. They got it. Halfway. They got it. They got the truth that Jesus was teaching. I want you to get it this morning. Jesus is God. Make no mistake about what he's saying in this text. Jesus is God. The scribes understood what Jesus was saying. He's saying, "I am God and I can forgive sin." That's what he said. That's power. Matter of fact, look what they say in the text. "Who can forgive sins but God alone," they say. That word "can" there is where we get our word for dynamite, dunamos. And it's the root word to that. Who can? Who has the authority to act to forgive sins? What they're basically saying. Who has the power? Who has that power? Jesus has the power. He has the power to cancel sin. He has the power to forgive sin and remove it. As a matter of fact, this idea here of forgive is to drive it out. Drive it out. It can't exist. He moves it out. It's not something we flirt with. It's something we overcome. Forgiveness of sin. He moves it out. He removes it so that he can feel it. Jesus removes it so he can fill it. That's what he wants to do. When he forgives sin, he don't want to just create a void and a vacuum. He wants to fill that vacuum with himself. And we can do that when we praise him for that. When we acknowledge him for that. He says, "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about the things in your heart?'" And he questions them. Let me pose you a question. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? Now, I don't know about you, but I think it's easier for me to walk down here. And I don't have a paralytic in here. But I think it's pretty easy for me to say to my wife, "Your sins are forgiven." And truthfully, you don't know whether they're forgiven or not. Right? You really don't know that. I could say it all I want. Right? I could say it all I want. But these guys were doubting. These guys were doubting. As a matter of fact, they said, "Oh, blasphemy. He's acting like God. He's acting like God. Who can forgive sin but God?" Well, God, Jesus knowing their hearts. You know, sometimes even preachers know your heart. Hello, listen to me carefully. I can even see when you're in conviction when I'm preaching sermons. I can sense that. I can sense when you're in agreement. I can sense when you disagree. I can sense that. But Jesus, listen, if he was here preaching the word, he'd know everything there is to know about you. Okay? And he knew these guys. And in this case, he says, listen, I know your hearts. And he poses a question to them, which is easier, for me to say your sins are forgiven or take up your pallet and walk? And I know it was an easy answer for them too. Why, sure, just anybody could say, oh, your sins are forgiven. But Jesus says, I'm going to prove to you that I can forgive sin. Because not only am I going to tell them that their sins are forgiven, I'm going to expose the reason that you say that they're in sin. That's what the scribes were teaching. Matter of fact, sometimes people think that back in that day, that if you was paraplegic or something wrong with you, it's because of some sin in your life. That's very true. And I'm not saying it couldn't be. I mean, look at James. James says to bring the sick and ill and pray, anoint them with oil and pray for them. And if they have sin, confess it. Listen, friends, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Don't negate your struggle with health as not sin. It could be. I know I'm preaching something now you don't like to hear, okay? You didn't amen, okay? And you start going, oh, I don't know about that one, brother. Listen, I'm telling you, there's some people that are sick because of sin. Your lifestyle of living that lifestyle has brought sin, sickness on you. Now, I'm not saying every situation is that way. That's how the scribes were teaching it. That's just not the case, okay? I mean, there were sometimes people were sick because God was going to get the glory for healing them. That we see that in the guy with the pool of Bethesda. We know that that was the reason. They even asked Jesus. He said, so that the Lord be glorified. That's why. He had the palsy because the Lord's going to be glorified. That's the only reason. Okay, so sometimes God allows the sickness and he's going to glorify himself through that. Hey, we see that all the time. People get sick. God heals them. Listen, doctors practice medicine. God heals people. I want you to know that. We give the doctors way too much credit. We give the penicillin and the antibiotics and all that. Well, they gave me some antibiotics and I'm well today. No, they didn't. They practice medicine on you. God made you well. Okay? Let's give the credit where the credit's due. It's God. He gets the glory. Let's don't pass over that. We thank our doctors. We're grateful for them practicing their medicine on us. But God heals, okay? All right, now back to the point. He's seen their heart. And he says, hey, what's harder? To say, hey, your sins are forgiven, or take up your pallet and walk? He says, so that you know that the Son of Man has the power, that power word there is authority in the Greek. It's the same word we looked at last week. It is the power to act. It is the authority to act. He says, so that you will know that the Son of Man has the power, the authority to act, to forgive sin. I say to the paralytic, take up thy pallet and walk, and go home. And you know what happened? The paralytic. Some say he was a quadriplegic. Okay? Got up, carried his pallet, not just himself, carried his pallet and went home. I would say that Jesus was in the house. I would say, glory be to God. I would be saying, whoa, there's something new about this guy. Listen, friends, when we minimize the power of God acting in our lives by taking credit for it or painting a picture as it is something that we've done by our own effort and our own actions, we minimize the power of God and what He has done for us. When we ought to be making big what God has done for us. We're not visiting it enough. We're not shouting it enough. We're not telling our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones. We're living in a time of enlightenment, but where we think that we somehow are making our way to God in our knowledge and our understanding and our wisdom and who we are. And after all, God's just lucky to have me on His side. God forgive us for thinking us so big and Him so small. It's time that the church begins again, making big of Jesus and little of us. Friends, it's time for us to lift up Jesus, that He might draw all men to Himself. It's time for us to lift up Jesus in our marriages. It's time for us to lift up Jesus in our parenting. It's time for us to lift up Jesus in our relationships. It's time for us to lift up Jesus in our workplace. It's time for us to lift up Jesus whatever, wherever, however we're found. It's time to lift up Jesus. And He will change the house. He will fill the house with Himself and His own workings. He will fill the house that we live in. Folks, listen, Jesus wants to fill our lives with Him. With Him. Our lives, we're in, it's no wonder that our lives are still mundane and empty, because we're filling them with things that are mundane and common and empty, when we need to fill them with Jesus. And when we fill our lives with Jesus, then we make big of Jesus and little of us. But isn't that what it's supposed to be about? It's about Jesus. Look whatever they said. And I'm going to close with this. We're almost finished. Immediately He arose. He took up the pallet and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were amazed, glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Friends, listen to me. When someone gets transformed from death to life, it is truly a miracle. Jesus changes lives from death to life. He makes that which is dead live again. We've never seen anything like this before. Man dies, but Jesus redeems, and Jesus causes humanity to live again. Those girls who got baptized last week, a few weeks ago, gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Boom! That which was dead was made alive. Alive forevermore. Living for Jesus. Friends, listen. Each and every one of us who know Jesus Christ, we've had that boom moment. Fact is, we don't revisit that boom moment often enough. We get out here and we get to thinking too much about ourselves, and we forget about from where we came. It's good every once in a while to relive and remember what all God has delivered us through. What all God has delivered us from. It's right for us to have a time of recollection, a time of remembrance, but not to live in the past. But let that past generate faith in the present. Let the past generate faith in the present. Why? God's been faithful through all these years, and He'll be faithful again today. Jesus is in the house. He's in your house. He's in your temple. He's living in you. He's glorifying Himself by the work He's doing in you. Changing, transforming lives. And you and I are a life that was changed. There's lives this morning that need to be changed. There's lives this morning that need to be, boom, made alive. And Jesus has the power to forgive the sin that besets us. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for this time this morning.